Winters grabbed an M1 and started to run across the field, headed for the stationary company in its pinned-down first platoon. He intended to take command, get those men moving. But as he ran, he thought, "Geez, I can't do this. I'm running this battalion. I can't commit myself." He turned and raced back. And as I was coming up, there was Spears standing right in front of me. "Spears, take over that company and relieve Dyke and take that attack on in." Spears took off running. Winters turned his attention to his job. Lieutenant Foley described the results. Winters commanded the machine gunners to lay down a base of protective fire so that we, 1st Platoon, could finish off what we had started, and for the mortars to concentrate on those two haystacks. A grenade launcher let go with several rounds, and when the stack began to burn, the two snipers became casualties. Regiment put 1st Company, 25 men strong, on the right into the attack. But success or failure rested with E Company. This was an ultimate test of the company. It had reached a low point. Neither the officers nor the men were, on the average, up to the standards of the company that had jumped into Normandy. None of the officers who led on D-Day were with the company in 1945. More than half the enlisted men were new. The core of the old company left was the NCOs. They were Tekoa men, and they had held the company together since Dyke took over in Holland. They lived in a state of high alert and sharp tension. They lived and soldiered and tried to suppress feelings, always there, feelings that John Keegan points out are the products of some of man's deepest fears. Fear of wounds, fear of death, fear of putting into danger the lives of those for whose well-being one is responsible. They touched, too, upon some of man's most violent passions, hatred, rage, and the urge to kill. In this torrent of passion, uncontrollable thoughts raced through their minds. They had seen their officers take a walk, or break, or just cower, or go mute, as Lieutenant Dyke was at this moment of crisis. If they did not have the option of walking away, they did have the option of not leading. No one could force them to do so. Just as they could not force Dyke to act. These NCOs were Tekoa men, all that was left in Easy from the hot summer of 1942 and Captain Sobel. They had held the company together through a long stretch of inept command at the top and heavy losses among the enlisted ranks. So this was the test. Back in 42, the question was, can a citizen army be trained and prepared well enough to fight Germans in a protracted campaign in Northwest Europe? Hitler was not the only one who had answered no.